As William told the children, our scripture comes today from Acts, the first chapter, verses 1 through 11. Listen for the word of God. In my former book, Theopolis, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand there looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Seven next words of Jesus. That's been our theme for this series. What were the seven next words of Jesus following the resurrection? Well, we've had six already. The first one was, "Whom are you looking for?" The second one was, "Greetings, do not be afraid." "What are you discussing?" was the third one. "Peace be with you." The fourth one, "Go, be my witnesses." The fifth one, "Last week, have you caught anything?" And this is the seventh and final one, and the most important instruction that Jesus ever gave his disciples: wait for the gift. Wait for the gift. Jesus has been upon the face of the earth, appearing to his disciples for 40 days. That's the season of Easter that we're in right now. And then there comes this time when Jesus ascends up into heaven. But before he ascends up into heaven, he gives them this seventh word: wait for the gift. He says that you're going to be my witnesses, beginning here in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the othermost parts of the world. You're going to be my witnesses, but before you do anything, I want you to wait for the gift, because apart from the gift, you can't do anything. And so he instructs his disciples to wait in Jerusalem, and that's where they're gathered on this particular day. In the so-called upper room there in Jerusalem, they're waiting. Now, what they do not know is how long they'll have to wait. We know that it was 10 days before the gift came. And next Sunday, we'll celebrate the coming of that gift on Pentecost. But they have no idea how long they'll have to wait. And I've often wondered, you know, how did this group of people wait for that long? What was it that kept them focused? And of course, the scriptures tell us that as they waited, they were all together, and tradition has it that they prayed together. They probably remembered all the things that Jesus had taught them and had done with them. They reminisced over what Jesus had meant to them, and and then thought about how he was going to continue to be with them, but in a new way, and they were probably imagining what that might look like, and they were probably even thinking about, well, what would it be like to be witnesses, and what would I need in order to be a witness? And I think that they came to that place of 100% dependence upon God and realizing that they needed to wait and to receive. And so as they were there, they were indeed, I think, doing what any of us would do, looking around at one another. How comfortable are you with silence? Now, this is what we don't know. What did they do during those silent moments? I can only imagine what they did sometimes. You know, sometimes it's hard just to keep silence because it means we're giving over control, and so we like to get control back and we'll start speaking up. But then slowly but surely we realize, no, that's not what it's about. It's about being still and remaining quiet. And, well, what helps you to listen? We have to wait for so many things. We have to wait for answered prayer sometimes. I've known people who have been waiting on an answer for prayer for several years now. I know a family one time that waited as long as 17 years for an answer to prayer, and it came. And I know sometimes we have to wait on guidance. I have talked with seniors in high school this year who have been waiting on guidance of where will I go to school? Or if it's not school, what will I do with my life? Or what's my next step? And sometimes we wait on guidance. And sometimes we're confused about things and we have to wait on clarity of mind. And so often, as far as I'm concerned, I have to wait on strength. Because I know that some of the things I'm called to do, I can't do. Now, I wasn't like that when I began the ministry. I was ready just to go out and take on the world and do ministry. But now I know there's just some things I can't do. There are some hard, difficult things I can't do. And so I have to wait on the Lord to give me strength. There are so many reasons that we have to wait. And waiting can be difficult. But waiting can be so very, very valuable. So many wonderful things come out of our waiting period. And today I want to suggest three things that we can do as we wait upon God. Waiting on God in some way or another involves these three things. And the first thing it involves is listening. But you know, we can't listen very well to God when we're in a frenzied hush. So one of the first things we need to do is to learn how to slow down. And so often it's not so much as is God speaking to us as it is a question of are we listening? Because I believe God speaks to us every day. We aren't listening for it. And so often it means coming to a place of quietness. And it's amazing when you come to a place of quietness and stillness, what you can hear. Sometimes during the day, I'll need to take a break and I'll go over the Lake Pine and I'll walk around the lake. And as I'm walking around, I'll kind of get quiet in my spirit and I'll just listen to whatever I hear. And I hear birds, I hear frogs, and I hear a little rustling in the grass sometimes with a squirrel. I'll hear a leaf blowing. I'll hear things that I ordinarily wouldn't hear unless I reach that place of stillness and quietness. And that's why one of my favorite scriptures is, be still and know that I am God. You know, my question for myself and for you is this. What do we need to tune out in order to tune in to God? As we wait upon God for whatever reason, it does involve listening. You know, some of you may have been on that retreat recently, the silent retreat. Now, that's a scary thought. You're going to go off for a weekend and you're going to be in silence. But that silence is so that you can listen. Well, what do you need to tune out so you can tune in to God? The second thing that can help us in our waiting, and the second thing that waiting on God involves, is seeking. Seeking is looking for and longing for the presence of God. And of course, one of my favorite scriptures is the one about David. It says that he was a man after God's own heart. He was pursuing God, seeking God, longing for God. And so one of the questions I have to ask myself, and one of the questions that you can ask yourself is, as we're waiting, how are we pursuing the heart of God? How is it that we want to come to that place of knowing God's heart? How is it that we want to pursue God, to know God? And you see, there's a promise in the scriptures. You know, the scriptures tell us, God says, if you seek me, you will find me. This is not an impossible thing to seek God. As we seek him, we are promised that we will find him. And we will find that he first found us and placed within us that very desire to search for him. And so as we're seeking, it can be manifested in many different ways. Through reading scripture. Through paying attention to things happening around us. But all the while, the point is that we're seeking the heart of God. The third thing is this, is to join the wait staff. How many of you have ever been a waiter or a waitress? Yes, I have. Isn't it interesting that they call it the wait staff? And you're waiting on people. But what you're really doing is you're serving people. You're taking orders. You're bringing them their food. You're attending to their needs at the table. They're under your care. You're serving them. They are customers. You are serving your customers. And so while we're waiting upon God, we can join the wait staff. We can serve God as we're waiting. There's a song called, I think it's by John Weller or something like that. I'll waiting on God. In one of the verses, I'll serve him while I'm waiting. You know, so often, as we're waiting on God, there are those ways that we can serve him while we're waiting. And so these three things can truly help us. And the question I ask myself and the question you can ask yourself is, while we're waiting, what are those things that we can do to serve God? Those three things can indeed help us. Waiting on God is about letting God be God. You see, because only God is God, we are not. And it's about God's timetable and not about our timetable. And it's about realizing before we can do the works of God, God has to do a work in us. Waiting on God is letting God be God. And it's a freeing experience. Waiting on God is like a surfer. Now, a surfer has the surfboard and he goes down to the ocean and he's ready to surf. But he realizes that there's not one thing that he or she can do to create a wave. Surfers can't create the waves. But once a surfer sees a big wave breaking, he or she can go out there and ride it, you see. And as we wait upon the coming of the Holy Spirit, we realize we can't do nothing until the Holy Spirit comes. But then we get on the wave of the Spirit and we ride it. And so waiting upon God is like a surfer. You realize you can't do anything until the waves begin to break. Waiting upon God is like going sailboating. You can get in a sailboat and you can have the greatest sail in the world and you can hoist your sail. But you realize you're not going anywhere until the wind blows. So waiting upon God is setting your sail where it can catch the wind when it begins to come. And then you sail. Waiting upon God is about letting God be God. It's like being a surfer. It's like sailboating. One of the things I think about in this particular scripture that Polly read is this. These men in white that were there, those two men in white, and they're looking at the disciples, and Jesus has just ascended. I'm wondering if they were thinking, now let me get this straight. Jesus has left this earthly life and has promised that a gift would be sent to these men and that they would literally be able to take the gospel to the uttermost parts of the world. These men, the fishermen, tax accountant, zealots, these ordinary men. And sometimes I wonder if somehow or another there wasn't some scratching of the head. How can these people do what Jesus said he was calling them to do? That's a good question. And the answer is, they couldn't do anything apart from the gift to come. And it's the same for us. You know, God called them and God calls us to do things that we just can't do apart from receiving the gift that he promises. You know, I've seen a change in this church within the last, I don't know how many years, but it's been several years. And here's the change. So often there was a point in time in our church where we just did things. We just said, that's a good thing, let's go do it. That's a good thing, let's go do it. But in the recent years, there has been this desire to first wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. Not to rush ahead. Not just to do something. Not just to react to something. We had a Joel committee that got together for a whole year to begin to pray about, what is the mission of our church? What is the vision of our church? Well, if they'd asked me, I could have told them in 5 minutes. And what good would that have done? But instead, this Joel team met together and prayed together, and they sought God's heart, and they truly asked the question, why are we here at 117 South Academy Street? What is our mission? What is our vision? And out of that came something that could not have come apart from the waiting and the praying and the spending of time together. That's just one illustration of what's happened in this church. Another thing is when we meet as a church council. I remember when we had simply the administrative board meeting, and we had the council on ministries. And anytime it came time to make decisions, it was by vote. And so often, the tragic thing that happens in churches is we take votes and we have winners and losers. But in this church, we've learned how to come to that place of seeking discernment. It doesn't necessarily mean that we all have the same opinion, but we come to the same consensus that this is good to do. And we wait until we come to a place of consensus. Can we all at least agree to this at whatever level of agreement that we have? So we've come to the place of discernment. Something will come up to the church council and we'll say, we have yet to reach discernment about this. We will continue to pray and to seek God. I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, while that may seem frustrating at times because we just want to go ahead and make a decision or to do something, it's been the best thing that's happened to this church. To depend upon God's Spirit. And I want to tell you something. In our own life, Polly and I, we are discerning things for the next season of our life and even for this season. And I remember how last year some things began to bubble up within Polly's life about a ministry. And so January came and things began to fall in line about this ministry that she wants to have called Heart's Desire. And it all got lined out just right. And then guess what? We didn't see anything happen. It didn't do what we wanted it to do. We then realized that God had a different timetable. And all during this time since January, God's done other things in Polly's life and in my life. And we've seen how he's used this time so that when the time comes for that ministry to be birthed, it will be the right ministry. So often we get ahead of God, but to wait upon God means to back down and to say, in God's time, it will come and I'll be ready. Meanwhile, I will serve Him while I'm waiting. There are times in the ministry where I'll receive a call. And as I said before, early in my ministry, I just bolt out the door. But when I receive some calls, I go, God, I have no idea what to do in this situation except to show up. And that's what I've learned, just simply show up. But before I go, I ask for God's Holy Spirit to preside in me, that it might be His strength in me that enables me to go and be a pastor to someone in need. You know, the miracle that's taking place, I think, around the world today is that we're learning now more than ever before that what needs to be done in this world can't be done apart from the power of God. But that's a good thing, because the promise is if we will wait upon the power of God, it will come. There is no lack of power to do the right thing. Perhaps there is a lack of waiting and dependence upon. And so in our extreme times of crisis, in our extreme times of life, when we are forced to our knees, we discover that that power comes in ways we never would have envisioned it to come. And so what I believe is this, is that we are going to be able to see unbelievable things happen for good in this world because we wait upon God for that gift. And as we wait upon God for that gift, let me tell you, it will come. Your assignment, my assignment for this week, is to begin putting into practice some of these teachings. This coming week, I want you to think about setting aside a little bit of time to wait upon God for whatever reason you have. Perhaps it is for an answered prayer. Perhaps it is for guidance about a decision. Perhaps it's for clarity of mind. Perhaps it's for strength to do something that's difficult to do. And also for becoming a witness, because that's what next week is going to all be about, is when we celebrate the fact that when the Spirit and the presence of the Holy Spirit comes, we are empowered to be witnesses. So set aside some time this week to wait upon God. And as you do that, listen, seek, and serve. You're invited to come for prayer today about any need that you may have in your life. You're invited to come to prayer to learn how to wait upon God. You're invited to come to prayer to celebrate what God has maybe done in your life this past week. You're invited to come for prayer to recommit your life to Christ. For whatever reason, you're invited. Let us stand.